wonder if some of them had the question in their head, what's wrong with this? And what would be wrong if we bowed? And I won't go into the music either, because I'm definitely not the right person, but some have commented that the image was 60 cubits tall, it was 6 cubits wide, and there were 6 instruments in verse 5. And so just the thought of the evilness behind the questions that we ask, what is wrong with that? You have the 666 behind what's in bowing these images. And yet, in verse 12, all the little things, as we talked about, it was more than just this image. They didn't serve thy gods, nor worship the image which you have set up. And so it seems that their lives were a testimony to never acting on the what's wrong with this, walking past the god in the street, or whatever it may have been at that time. For us, every day we get bombarded with a what's wrong with this. And for these three men, it could be say that they wouldn't have any part of any of that. They would not serve the gods nor worship the golden image.
When we read this, we, as you're saying, it's clearly wrong. It's obvious to us. But we say, if I was in this situation, I would hope that I would have the strength and the courage to not bow. Because you can't bow down to any other god. It's a commandment. But to add to what you were saying, Matt, I think if you look at the construction of this image, which I don't think it was a person, because it would be very skinny, because it was 60 cubits high and only 6 wide. But regardless of what it was, it's the same length as the temple. And it's made of gold. There's a lot of gold in the temple also. And if you look at the instruments that are mentioned, if you read Psalm 150, there are also a lot of instruments mentioned. Praise the Lord with the. Praise the Lord with the. And the last verse of that psalm was, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so what the enemy does is use the same things that the people are used to with reference to what is true. And convince them that there is nothing wrong. So we have to admire that these men here, even because we can read it and we see it all, the big picture. But in that situation, you know, would we really have recognized it was wrong? Could we have been fooled? They're using gold just like the temple. It's the same length as a temple. Well, maybe it's not so bad. And then all I know about these instruments, these are the same instruments I use to praise the Lord. So I'm gonna jump right in. And so just one comment with regards to the music. What is the music for? And that's the question you have to ask when it comes to music. What is the music for? And what are you putting in your ears? What are you listening to? What is the purpose of the music? For the person who wrote it, I mean, you can figure that out if you really want to, but then also, what is the purpose for you? And you got to be before the Lord when it comes to that. Here, the purpose of the music was to draw them to this false god, this image. So it was definitely wrong, and it had to be avoided at all costs.
I just want to go one more comment on the peculiarity of what this image is. The word used here for image is only used in this chapter. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. So it's not even necessarily the same sort of idol you see elsewhere. And to go along with what Kevin said about the dimensions, it's a very skinny thing. It kind of sounds like maybe it was like an obelisk or a pillar. So you have to wonder if, you know, there's lots of gods they could have made an image to and they could have used a name for. There's no name given to this either. So I wonder if it was a representation of the state or a representation of some sort of principle. It wasn't even maybe a representation of a god. And so as someone living in the scene, I could easily justify maybe why it wasn't, you know, I'm not defiling, I'm not betraying my god by bowing down to this. This is just a principle, or it's just the nation. I'm just, you know, respecting the nation by doing this. But really, it's powerful to see there that anything could take the place of our God. It didn't have to be another God here. It was just something else that I'm giving my heart to or bowing down to. And similarly today, I don't walk around and see statues to other gods, but there's plenty of other idols in our world that we can bow down and worship to. They don't have to look like an image or a man or a deity to be an idol.
Yeah, I was thinking of the fact that this was set out in the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. So it was set at a distance so that it could be seen. And we're thinking about, how do we know? And it goes back to some of our earlier thoughts as to everything has to be tested against the Word of God. So how do we know if we don't know the Word of God? So the Spirit of God would bring before us men set up things. So Nebuchadnezzar was told, you are the head of gold. But now he's filled with pride and he wants to set his image. But yet we have to understand who is behind the very thing, the image that we see. It's the God of this age. It's Satan himself that is in opposition to God and therefore to us. And so if I'm going to have an understanding in our day of all the image that is set up today, I've got to know the Word of God. And if I adopt an approach to spiritual things that is casual, that is convenient when I can make it, pick up my Bible when it's the last thing I remember to do, then when the image is there, that which represents Satan and in opposition to God, I'm not going to so easily be able to identify it. And I like to suggest the image has to do with the gateway of the eye and the brain, and music has to do with another sense that comes in through the ear. And these things have a way then of playing themselves out into our bodies. So all of us would know if you hear some styles of music, it makes the body react, right? And so what Nebuchadnezzar wanted is not only for the image to enter into the mind as the principle against God, but then now the sound of the music that most definitely was going to have an appeal to the flesh is now going to make us the agents in the activity of the flesh to the enemy himself.
There's no question, brethren, time flies. So I just want to suggest quickly that in language of New Testament as well, idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives, briefly. Flee from idolatry, that's the writings of Paul, and the writings of John is keep yourself from idols. And he wasn't talking about images in the writings. He wasn't talking about statue. He wasn't talking about anything that we might imagine. He was teaching them Christian truth, family truth. But yet there is the understanding that morally there could be something, or even in our practice, even young people with things that we love, sports, games, movies, all these things that could be an idol in my life because they take the place of God. But the second thing is to deal with these two and then move. Maybe brethren could remind us about God is able to deliver. We can talk about the deliverance of our blessed God and the power found in Him. But the reality is they want to serve your gods and they don't want to worship. There is these two elements that I want you to understand, that if there is something in your life that's taking the place of Christ, when it comes to serving, the Lord Jesus says, ye cannot serve what? Two masters. Anything you might be attached to that is taking the place of God in your life, you are going to become subjected to the authority of that thing. That thing is going to become your master. Brethren, we all went through something, and you know exactly what we're talking about. But the other thing is not a matter of the lordship or the master, but the worship, it has to do with object of worshiping, deity, where all what you do is toward that thing. Everything, you know, the first worship in the scripture is that Abraham was offering the best for God. He was going into God to offer his well-beloved son. And the dangerous thing, dear saints, with worshiping, with allowing idols into my life, that my life will be circled around giving everything to that thing, whatever it might be to you. I don't know what it is, but whatever it might be to you, that sometimes it's legitimate things even that turn idols into our lives, then they become all your effort and all what you want to give in life, it will be toward them. So the danger of idols and the danger of serving and worshiping is evident. But brethren, unfortunately, we have around 15 minutes or so. Maybe the brethren can involve us, engage us a little bit, that God is able to deliver. And that's the message that we all need to understand. Not only the way of salvation, that He can deliver from eternal punishment, but for you and for me as saints, to know that God is able to deliver from whatever circumstances we find ourselves in.